Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Can COVID-19 cause brain shrinkage? So I know that when I had Omicron a month ago or so, definitely it impacted on my cognitive processing, my word finding. I found that I was in a little bit of a fog. And then I found it again when I had the booster shot. Is this real or is this all imaginary? Dr. Donné Manet, who is a neuropsychologist, joins us this morning. Thanks for chatting to us about this. Is this a real thing?
Hi, morning. Thank you for having me on the show. So we do know that COVID can affect the brain because we have seen neurological symptoms in a number of people. So, for example, there's been reports of stroke or delirium, as you say, memory problems, kind of brain fog or fatigue. But up until now, it wasn't clear which specific areas of the brain tend to be most vulnerable to COVID infection. And I mean, that's essentially because we didn't really have a before and after to compare. But a study by the University of Oxford has just come out with a research report that has caused quite a stir across the globe because it's the first study to be able to really compare scans of people's brains before and after COVID using data from the UK Biobank. So they had scans of people's brains before they contracted COVID, and then they were able to compare between people who contracted COVID and those who didn't to look to see if COVID left any lasting change. And so what they did find is that there was some gray matter shrinkage in areas of the brain that are involved in the processing of memory and emotions. But I think even though these findings are quite alarming, we should just watch the science for a while, because what they also found was that a lot of the changes took place in the areas of the brain that are involved in olfaction, so the processing of smell.
Which makes sense, given that that was one of the symptoms of COVID.
Yeah, that was one of their main findings, was that there was a shrinkage in the olfactory region. And we know that loss of smell is a very common COVID symptom. And what you do find in the brain, because it's plastic, when there is a lack of input, the brain tends to reorganize temporarily to compensate for that. And you do often find that once olfaction is restored, those areas kind of come back to life. So I think it's a bit early to be too alarmed. I mean, of course, we do know that a number of people, especially those who had severe COVID or in cases of what we call long COVID, that they are left with persistent symptoms. But I think, you know, we should also be looking at data that looks at actual changes in cognition and not just what we see on the brain scans, because this could be from the loss of sensory input. And also because olfaction is very much plays a core role in emotion and memory. I mean, often just the smell of something will
absolutely
bring back a memory.
Something. Absolutely.
So it doesn't mean that because.
One of our listeners, Janine, saying COVID made me very emotional, and I just had the booster. Here we go again. So it is interesting that we seem to react in very specific ways. So for me, the brain fog and fatigue was my biggest symptom of COVID, and that's exactly what I experienced with the booster. Janine saying exactly the same thing about, well, her response was emotion, and so there's no doubt that it seems to have some impact. We all kind of know this. I guess the question is what's so interesting about what you're saying is it's almost being maybe not quantified, but we're actually seeing a visual proof of it in these brain scans.
Yes, so it can be reassuring, I think, for some people. You know, to understand that what they're experiencing is something real, they're objective markers for it. And, you know, a lot of the time these experiences, the brain fog, the change in mood and emotion, it is it can be related to immune changes.
Oh, that's also interesting.
But I think, you know, it doesn't mean that because we are seeing it on a scan that it's necessarily going to be permanent. You know, the brain is, it's like a muscle. It is plastic. And it can change.
Would you recommend that if somebody, if somebody is experiencing persistent brain fog or a change in emotion following COVID, for example, so it becomes almost a long COVID thing, that they that they deal with that symptom, that they talk to somebody with regard to that specific symptom?
I do think so. In our research on long COVID, and that's a collaborative study between Cape Peninsula University of Technology, where I'm based, as well as UCT, and this is research funded by the National Research Foundation. We are seeing a lot of people who are experiencing long COVID having memory problems, but also anxiety. And while we can't give them a line of treatment that is conclusively effective, we do encourage people to try and seek help, you know, for each symptom. So counseling can help. Managing stress is really important. Eating well, especially getting enough sleep, whatever you can do to just try and kind of take care of your mental well-being at the moment is you know, our best shot. We fortunately are seeing people recover, and for each case, it seems to be different. But there is some hope.
And I think it's also largely about the anxiety around this, because we always think that whatever we're experiencing is permanent, and especially because we don't have a history of COVID, we don't really know how this plays out. There is a tremendous amount of anxiety, and if you add anxiety to brain fog and word finding and stress, most of us can't think very, very clearly when we are under immense mental strain.
Gosh, yes. Just the uncertainty around the situation is so difficult, both for patients and clinicians, not really knowing what to suggest. But anxiety really interacts with cognition. You know, we find on some of our objective tests where we're trying to measure somebody's working memory, for example, so their ability to manipulate information in mind. If they're anxious, you know, they really struggle to do that. And then their score is not so much reflective of their underlying ability, but just the fact that they are worrying about it. You know, when you're worrying, it's like
exactly.
A big
club. It just makes it even worse.
At the fore of your mind.
And I think there should be comfort taken in the fact that you mentioned earlier that people lose their smell and they get it back, and generally doesn't last even a long period, is 6 weeks. It shouldn't last longer than that, which is, I guess, an indication that the brain is healing at the same time.
Yes, definitely. I think what will be so important is for the University of Oxford to do a follow-up study to track these participants.
Absolutely right.
And then also to look specifically, as far as I've read, they didn't look at individuals explicitly who had long COVID. Their sample was just anybody who contracted COVID. So it would be interesting to find out if these changes are actually being driven specifically by individuals who are exhibiting long COVID, or if this is a change that's happening, you know, across the board, regardless of the symptoms.
Right.
But, smell is something that is, you know, there's retraining to learn to smell again, which is available, because the way the brain processes olfactory information is that, you know, it's kind of a matching between the incoming information, which we call bottom-up, as well as the top-down, you know, what you expect to smell. And that's why often things will taste better when you're on holiday, because, you know, everything, you're expecting a more pleasant sensation. So,
there is room
for that flexibility for learning, and you've got to kind of retrain your brain. Yeah.
Mike Luber says, I've suffered from brain fog and fatigue for a prolonged period over a year since Delta. Mike, I definitely think it's worth looking into that. Unfortunately, that is all we have time for in this discussion. Dr. Danae Manet, who is a neuropsychologist, talking to us about COVID-19 and brain shrinkage. It's 7:30. Good morning.